absolute a voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
I want you to help me welcome someone seated by you. Smile. Make sure you smile and tell the person you are welcome to the house of God. Welcome to Power Anointing Service. Tell him your life will never be the same. Tell him God has a package for you tonight. And you will not miss it. You will take a full delivery of them. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, amen. Understanding the power behind vows. Understanding the power behind vows. Amen. Oh, amen. We have been looking at this very interesting subject. And several people have been telling me how they have been blessed because of this powerful series. We explained that vows are solemn promises that the Lord gives. That we make solemn promises that we make either to God or to human, either to God or to other people. Solemn promises that we make. He said it's not just about issues of money, but even it has to do with issues of behavior, character. It can be agreement between people in a relationship. It can be between God and man. And anytime vows are made, it leads to a covenant between the two parties. We have seen from last week that Jacob made a vow to God, Hannah made a vow to God, Jephthah made a vow to God. We said vows are very powerful. Why? Because vows secure 100% answered prayer. And that is what we were learning also in today's vault. We also said that vows facilitate spiritual breakthroughs, like we saw in the life of Hannah. We also said vows help us to secure victory in battles, victory in our life, or intervention, something that God must come through for you. If there is something that God must show forth, vow is what you need to subscribe to. We also said it helps us secure divine partnership. Divine partnership. God gets involved in our situation to help us. Not all. We said that the power in vow is released when you fulfill it. It's the fulfillment of vow that provokes its power. We said order. And then we said that is why the devil doesn't want us to vow in the first place. And that is why after you vow, sometimes the devil tries to bring all kinds of distractions so that you will not fulfill your vow. Because the power of your vow is in its fulfillment. Tell the one by you, the power of your vow is in its fulfillment. And that one is a powerful quote that you have to note down, okay? The power of the vow is in its fulfillment. If you don't fulfill it, it's not powerful. When you fulfill it, it produces great power. And we saw it in the life of a barren woman called Hannah. She fulfilled that one vow. Never expected to have more children. She just wanted to prove to her, rival. Uh-huh. She just wanted to prove to Penina that she can give birth, that she's not barren. So she said, give me one. You didn't say give me two. Said, give me just one child. And I'll give him to you as a priest. Don't give me any child. Just give me one. But little did she know that the power of vow is in the fulfillment. As soon as she fulfilled it, her womb blasted open. The Bible says she had 5 more children. How can a barren woman have 6 children in life? That is like bringing shame on the spirit of barrenness. Somebody says barren now, he has given birth to six. It's like to mock the spirit of barrenness. That I'm not barren after all. But the other five came after she gave that one. That one. If she trained that one to like 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, or 7 years, or 10 years, that now he was able to take care of himself. Then the Bible says that now he sent him to the church. So 10 years after Samuel, she still did not give birth. God was watching whether she will honor it. After she trained the boy to the time when the boy can now bath, the boy can now wash his clothes, then he sent the boy to the chapel that now go and serve as a pastor, as an apprentice to the man of God, and give the boy over to God, never to see the boy for very long. Once in a year, she will come around to the temple and see her son. Bible says, after she did that, her womb blasted open. Five children came out. When you fulfill any vow you have made, whether to man or to God, may God honor you with more. Your amen can be better. I said, may God honor you with more. So tell somebody, the power of the vow is in the fulfillment of it. It is in its fulfillment. Amen. And we explain that. That's why the devil will bring distraction. All of a sudden, your mother is sick. All of a sudden, you lose their job. All of a, like something to just distract you so that you don't pay the vow or you don't fulfill the vow. But the devil is a liar. Lift up your hand and say, the devil is a liar. I will fulfill the vow so that much more will be my portion. Clap your two hands for the Lord. And we also made a very, very good quote that or statement that we said that it is the wise that pays his vow. It's the wise that fulfills his vow. It is wisdom to fulfill your vow. It is wisdom. The reason why it is wisdom is because there are two things about vow. It has to do with seeking first the kingdom. That, okay, I still have needs. The devil is trying to, irrespective of the circumstances that have happened to me, I still have to pay my vow because it's about God. And Bible says you should seek first the kingdom, and other things that are now calling my attention will all be sorted out by God for me. So it is the wise, or it is wisdom, to fulfill your vow first and foremost before attending to those emergencies that have surrounded you. And then the reason why it is wisdom, again, aside the fact that you make God fight for you, or you make God now attend to the other things that, because you have sought him first, the wisdom is in that you are passing your spiritual test. It is the test that you are passing. And I told you last Sunday that promotion in life never answers to age. It answers to what? It answers to what? Being able to pass a test. So you will be in that class for 10 years if you fail the exams. I'm telling you. The headmaster is not your enemy. Neither do the mistress hate you. The issue is that you are failing. As long as you are trailing, there are people who are in this church that we saw them go to university. Up till now, they've not done graduation. And sometimes I wonder, how come that this university you said you went 3 years ago, we have not heard you say that, Pastor, I'm going for graduation. You don't need to answer. I know. The reason is because you have trailed. I went to school. You have trailed. And because you have trailed, you see, you can't organize graduation. You've never invited us. You are owing them paper. You have filled certain papers. And you have not gone to answer. As the one by you, are you the one? I remember one day my wife asked me that, but this particular person went to the university to do that. But we've not gone to the graduation. I said, hey, you two went to university. What makes people complete school and not have graduation? You know. The person has not said it, but it could be that the person has still papers. And until the person is ready to sit down and learn and pass, he will not graduate. So, promotion in life on all levels doesn't answer to age. Doesn't answer to years. Doesn't answer to money. It answers to what? Passing the test. Passing the test. So the one who pays vows or who fulfills vows that they make in life, they are people who have learned the wisdom of passing your test. Because it's a test. And we said that the first test that God checks after you vow, for which reason many temptation comes after you vow, is the test of faithfulness. The test of faithfulness. That, okay, let's see whether he will pay. Let's see whether she will fulfill it. You promised the lady. Now God sits back and says, okay, let us see. Now he has changed your status. Let us see whether you keep your promise to the lady or you keep your promise to the gentleman. You were in Ghana when you were saying yes. Now you are in UK. Whether you say yes or you keep to the yes or no, we will see. It's a test of faithfulness. Keeping to vow is a test of it. That's why when the status of people's life changes, you also change. See that they change in their relationship. The reason is because they are not faithful. So they are not constant. But in good times and in bad times, you're still supposed to be constant. That is what proves that you are faithful. To be faithful means to be constant. Amen. And everybody here wants faithful people, true or not true. Or you want someone who is in Ghana here, he will love you. Once he gets to America, he doesn't know you. There were some two people here who were in a secret relationship. Then I think that I got to know at a point in time. When I got to know, then I asked the lady, hey, what is going on? Then, blah, 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 blah. Then I asked the guy, I said, I have heard this. The guy is not mainly in this church. He's one of my crusade guys. So I said, oh, Papa, it's true, blah, 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 blah. They started talk and all that. Then, when they were ready to officialize things, because I said, come and see me. But when they were ready to officialize it, then the guy got scholarship to go outside the country. The guy got scholarship. Then, when the guy got scholarship to go outside the country and then study, then the lady called me and started crying that, oh, this is what the guy is saying, that they can't settle down again. Because when he gets there, he doesn't know who he's going to meet. So go your somewhere. Let me go my somewhere. When he was still here, he has not crossed Kotoka. But he has seen himself with a rich white woman already. The guy has pictured the white woman already and doesn't want you to be cantankerous holding the leg behind. No, no. So stay in your Ghana. So I called this guy, and the guy said, oh yeah, that, you know, the way I am with rescue, I don't want to have a bad, you know, when I anytime I come back to Accra, rescue is where I come, so, you know, I don't want to have problem with you, and then, but when I get there, you see, I don't know how, I don't intend to come back, so I don't know how life will be, so, yeah, you shouldn't have started in the first place, you see, the guy gave a promise, but now situation has changed. Now he has seen green pasture. He has seen that he's traveling. He will get one white woman to marry and get green paper. And this Ashanti girl will be in Ghana here too. Be calling that, where are you? You know, so that's how life is. It's a reality of life. It's a reality of life. Amen. It's a reality of life. So this guy just dumped the girl like that with tears and all that. Dumped the girl like that, and then afterwards, the university that gave him admission canceled admission, and he got stuck in Ghana, and he started coming back to chase the girl. I said, "You see your face. You see, if you were the girl, will you go back?" Foolishly, the girl was going back. I said, "You are not wise. This is a man who, one day when he becomes successful, will leave." Foolishly, the girl was still falling. Because I love him. You don't love your future. You love your future, you will not love him. Amen. So these are real. So you see, when you make a vow, you have to pass the test of faithfulness. Because something will happen that will challenge, that will now test you whether you fulfill the vow first or you fulfill that thing. You will pay attention to that. I ask the one by you, what is making you confused? What is the situation that has come into your life after you made a vow to God that is making you make a decision? Okay, should I do this or should I go there? It is testing your faithfulness. Do you see how it works? It's testing your faith. That's why the devil decided to tempt you. It's testing your faithfulness. That is why. Number two, we also said, and you saw how Ananias and Sapphira failed in that test. They failed woefully. They feel because they saw people selling properties and bringing the money as offerings to the apostles to do the work of God. Then they also vowed that, oh, we have some two plots of land. We are going to sell it. So we'll bring you one plot money. I'll bring one plot money. Then after they sold it, they realized that a lot of money is in the thing. Then they realized that the money was too big. How can they bring it to Peter and Co. to use it for the work of God? Then they receive some phone calls from their family members. They have to send money to their hometown, handle some hospital bills, and do some one or two. Now, their business needed attention because the government was, oh, Then they had a meeting at home. They said, Ananias, you know what? Yanye kan yesu ye boa. O de ye nti half. Ye fe half. At least we have yesu ye nyam ye juma. Ye fe half. Ye fe half. We call ye business. Because this is the business so apart from. Ye fe half. Is so enko ye klum. Na ye fe enko ma abro. Anon se abro. This is so afre. For yare. Oh. Then they brought the half. They brought it at different times. Wait it a half. Wait it a half. The quarter. Nom di boom. Then when they came. Then Peter asked them, are you sure this is all? Peter asked them, are you sure this is all? So some of you, when you think you are bringing your vow, God is asking you, are you sure this is all? What do you think? Are you sure this is what you vow?
Amen.
Are you following what I'm teaching at all? So it works that way. And they failed. And when they failed, you and I know what happened to them. What happened to them? You don't know. Me too, I don't know. In fact, I have to go and read the Bible again. I don't know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, unfortunately. I don't know. I don't know at all. So I'll go and check my Bible. If you find it, you can call me on phone and then tell me what happened to Uncle Ananias and Sapphira for being unfaithful. Number two, what test are you passing? The second test. When you vow and things start happening to you, what is the second test you are supposed to pass? The test of honor for God. The test of honor. Honor for God. When we say you honor God, we mean you revere God. It's reverence. You revere God. You revere God. You reverence God. You revere God. You have fear, godly fear for God. You see, if you have fear for someone, you will not promise the person and disappoint the person. True or not true? If you have fear, like you fear a certain guy that actually, out of this guy, he can kill me. Like you have read about Ananias and Sapphira, you know that the guy can shoot. You don't joke with the guy. You will not take what belongs to the person. You will not deceive the person. Okay? If you have read about Ananias and Sapphira, you should be afraid of God. You should have fear for God. That is, God is not somebody that we joke to joke with. God is not somebody that we play around at all. You see? Honor is reverence. Somebody you hold in high esteem. Somebody that you have some reverence for, some godly fear for. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Let's be quick as we rise up to pray. Let's be quick. I have a meeting, so I'll close very early today. Let's be quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6 and then 7. That do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin or your body to sin. Nor say before the messenger of God or the angel of God that it was an error. That is when you were talking, there was an angel there. Change the verse. Let them see the angel. When you were talking, there was an angel there. So don't let your mouth cause your body to sin. Tell the one by you, don't let your mouth cause your body to sin. Tell him whenever you are making a vow, either to a human being or to God, there is an angel present. There's an angel. That's why God punishes people. He said that we're breaking with heart, then curse comes upon the person. The reason is because there is an angel. He said that do not let your mouth cause your body to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was a mistake. Was a mistake. I didn't know I would get scholarship. It was a mistake. That's why I thought I was staying in Accra. So as for staying in Accra, dear, I can't stay with you. But now that I know that I'm going to Europe, I cannot. It was a mistake. I'm sorry for loving you and proposing to you. It was a mistake. Wow, what a mistake. It was a mistake. Oh, Pastor, I didn't mean it. You know, I just thought that I could, but I realized that was a mistake. I didn't know that my car will break down. I didn't know that my child will be sick. I didn't know. Else, I wouldn't have pledged 1,000 cedis. It was a mistake. Okay, Pastor, let's just be reasonable. Let's make it 200. Let's make it 200. I'll use the rest for medical bills. Let's make it 200. Say it was a mistake. Other one, by you, have you made such mistakes? You promised God something in the year. That as for this year, I'll come to church fire, but now. It looks like you deceived God. It was a mistake. You shouldn't have pledged at all, isn't it? It was a mistake. Pledges are powerful. Vows are powerful. So it's good to vow. But you must pay. You must fulfill it so that the power will work for you. So, it says that, wherefore should God be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? Verse 7. It says that, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. Tell somebody, fear thou God. You see, he's talking about vows. And he says that because a lot of vanity will happen, but fear God. I mean, it's only the fear of God that will make you be able to be committed to a vow that you made to your wife, or a vow that you made to your husband, or a vow that you made to a friend, or a vow that you made to... It's only the fear of God. As I am here now, it is only the fear of God. That is why I will keep being faithful to my wife. Not the fear of God. I've told her several times that the only reason why me I will not misbehave is not because I love you too much. Far from it. The only reason is because I fear God. Fear God that if I wrong you, God will fight me for you. I fear God that I have oil on my head. If I go and fool about, God will take the oil from me. It's not like I'm low with you and I can't sin against you. Say at all. Feel free. Say at all. Who said your beloved cannot cheat on you? He can cheat on you nicely. Some of you guys have done it already. The only thing is that you didn't see. Look for your beloved and ask him. He done it already. The only thing that you didn't catch them. It is the one who is caught, who is a thief, true or not true. There are many thieves in the world. Many thieves. Some are in the bank, some are in the political. Many thieves. The only one they caught by the roadside, he is the thief. Unfortunately. So there are many guys are cheating. Many men. Some are even bishops and whatever you may think of. Big men, politicians, business tycoons. I'm going for whatever, business summit meeting and all that. Oh, therefore, keke. It's a very wonderful thing. You know? Because I always tell people that it's not a natural thing to be faithful. It's not natural. The dog doesn't know faithfulness. Cat doesn't know faithfulness. Goat doesn't know faithfulness. Look at all the mammals. Go and check all mammalia, the mammalian family. And look for all the males, the male gender. And check which of the male gender stayed with the female gender for life. Go and check. Go to the fish. Go and consult Papa Fish and Mama Fish. Go to tortoise. Go and check Papa Tortoise, Mama Tortoise. Go. You just say that I'm a false prophet and go and check. That's why Abraham could not marry one woman. That's why Isaac could not marry. That's why David. That's not the plan of God. But they could not. So God gave them the license. You just add more. In fact, the day David went to take somebody's wife, when God sent the prophet, God said, if you had asked me, I'll give you more. The same God that said, one Adam, one Eve. He said, you people, I know that you are stubborn, but if you have told me, I will allow you to marry more. So even God himself understood that a gender male is a crazy gender. Amen? But the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that an overseer, a leader, somebody who wants to go far with the Lord, it is ideal that you are a husband of one wife. Amen. That's why we are disciplining ourselves. That is why. Not like we are not seeing others. That's why. So I want you to understand that faithfulness is just because of the fear of God. You let any guy here get up and challenge what I'm saying. Or even as they are holding your hands and you are walking, they saw somebody. They wanted to look, but you were there, so they didn't look. In fact, their head was heavy. They wanted to turn and look at that dark. You are fair. They want to look at that dark and add to the fair. Balance died. Say balance died. They were tempted. Just that you were there. You were there. So they just looked front. they didn't check. It's this, say discipline. It's not a, and so today we are able to marry one wife. We are able to do what was in the Garden of Eden. You see, and never ever think, because you see, in the Garden of Eden, God didn't make two women. If God had made two women, then you can now check whether Adam will allow one to go free, or but God made one. You get what I'm saying? So the greatest gift you can get is a faithful man. That's what the Bible says, a faithful man who can find. When it came to a woman, he didn't say a faithful woman. A virtuous woman who can find. Because when it comes to the women, it's character. Character. Math. Naturally, it's not the issue of faithfulness with women. It is this generation that the guys have wronged them so much. So their eyes have opened. Now they want to also, before the man will do it, they want to have upper hand. So by this time, he has three girlfriends. He said, I'll take like two. In case you break the heart, I'm not going to call her. It looks like this generation is modified. You see, in genetics, we call something modified genetics. It's like the thing was A, but now we have made it. We've added, it's like a hybrid. Eh? So that the women we have now are not generation of Eve. They are a mixture of Eve and something else. Broken heart generation. So they are always, now they have become slave queens. They used not to be like that. They used to sit by one man with 17 wives, and they are all there. They never think about moving. It was like a taboo. But today, I interrogated one lady in this church, young girl, she was in nursing school. I interrogated her. She has four boyfriends. Four. After the time I was chatting with her in the office, she had four. Solid. Four. And I was shocked that a small girl like that could manage four. And he's sleeping with all of them. Oh, sleeping with all of them. He knows where he gets the money from. He knows where he gets the sex from. He knows where he gets the jokes from. He knows where he gets the fresh boy from. Like, everybody has his role. It's like specialization. Everybody has been given his assignment in the equation. Amen. So, faithfulness is as a result of fear of God. You now understand what I'm saying? Now, this is what Bishop Dark said, and they took him to YouTube and they started insulting him on Facebook that it's not natural for a man to keep one wife. What he's saying is true. It's not natural. It's not. It was in the perfect creation of Adam and Eve. But when you look at all living things, you realize that it's not natural. It only takes the fear. That's why God didn't fight them in the Old Testament. He just allowed them. It takes the fear of God to be disciplined. Because the troubles you will get by living that life, go ask them, go ask David. How his children were sleeping with themselves, killing themselves. Go ask Abraham. Till today, because Abraham didn't sit with one wife, we are still fighting war. In fact, his children are fighting the Middle East. They are killing themselves. Those people you see in the Middle East fighting, they are all children of Abraham. One is bombing the other. They are all children. They are from... All of them, don't go, don't say some. Sit in your Ghana. These are brothers. Palestinians and Israel, they are brothers. They are brothers. Ishmaelites, Edomites, and then Jacob and his descendants. They are the people there. Esau's children, Ishmael's children, and then Jacob's children. They are the people, these three people, they are there. So it's a family distinct that they are doing there. This thing. Amen. Just because what? Isaac decided to go in for Hagar. That's where the fight started. Else there wouldn't have been any issues. I won't have Muslims in life. Not really Muslim at all. Are you following me? So pass your test of faithfulness. Do you get it? And pass your test of honor. Fear for God. That Tali, it is God I promise, not Pastor Prince. It's God I promise, not Equia. It's God that I promise. God was there, an angel was standing there. When you see, that is why he came in Malachi chapter. He said that I am a witness between you and your wife, the covenant you made with your wife. I was a witness. When you were yobbing here, you think God was in there. God was there. It's a witness. Amen. So fear God. Tell somebody, fear God. And fulfill all your vows. Fulfill all. The ones for to God, the ones to human beings, fulfill all your vows. Amen. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Number three, test of blessableness. Whether you deserve to be blessed or not. The test of blessableness. Whether you are blessable, you're blessing. Whether you deserve the blessing or not is determined after you make the vow. After you make the vow. Hannah, whether you deserve to be a mother of children is tested after you gave birth to Hannah, to Samuel, whether you will bring Samuel or not. Then God will know whether you deserve to have children around you. Otherwise, that Samuel can even die and go. Otherwise, that business can even collapse. Otherwise, that salary that you're starting, you can even lose it because you decided to be unfaithful and you lost the right to be blessed. Amen. Do you understand this point? Whether you deserve to be blessed, that blessing you are looking for, whether you deserve it or not, is tested after you vow. After you vow. Lord, I'll bring you half of my salary. It's after you vow. Why? Because God, I need this promise. I need this breakthrough. I need this. Whether you deserve it or not, will be tested after you made the vow. By the time your salary lands in your hands, boom, that test starts. Whether you will pass and get the blessing that was spoken over you or the prayers that you requested will be determined after that thing falls into your hands. After you get to that America. After you step in. After you get wherever you are. Revelation chapter 5 verse 4. The saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus passed his test. And because Jesus, what was the test that Jesus passed? Bible said there was silence in heaven. Who will go for us? And there was silence in heaven for hours. And the Bible says that, and then John started crying. John the prophet started crying because he saw that nobody was ready to come out and die for us. Then when he started crying, then an archangel appeared and said, do not cry, for the Lamb of God from the tribe of Judah, the lion from the tribe of Judah has broken through and he has taken the seal and is coming to die for you. So do not cry. So Jesus got up and said that, yes, I will go. That's what Isaiah prophesied about. Who will go? He said, I will go. Send me. So Jesus decided to come back. Okay, what did he say that? Send me. I will do it. Now, when he faced, that's why in Gethsemane he started praying. And the Bible said that he started shedding tears like blood. He started sweating like blood. Because now he came face to face with what he vowed in heaven. He said he will die for us. He has come to work all the miracles, done everything. Now it's time to die. Now, when it was time to die, Jesus' prayer point changed. When he was walking about, wasn't he bragging, I came to do the will of my Father? Why is he saying that? Anytime the Pharisees approached him, he said, I am my Father, one. As I see my Father do, so do I do. I came to do that. One of the days, God, they were just begging him to eat. Instead of keeping quiet to eat, he was doing show. He said, okay, they have gone to town, bought food, brought the food. He said, I have another food that I eat. The food that I eat is my Father's business. No, when he finished, he ate the food. You see, so there are many, many things that Jesus said. Many, many, many things. Now, when the time was up and he saw the beatings ahead, when he saw the sins of human beings, how horrible our sins were, when he saw how he was going to be separated from God, when he saw how he was going to lose his godness to now become human so that he would suffer pain and carry the cross, his prayer point changed. He forgot that he is here to do the will of his Father. He started praying, let this cup pass me. 3 hours. He went 1 hour. Let this cup pass me by. Let this cup pass me by. Then he came back 1 hour. He saw them sleep. He said, could you wait for me 1 hour? Then he went back. He went to pray. 1 hour again, came back. They were snoring. He woke Peter up. He said, where we have gotten to? Did you understand that? That means that the baby is now around. Your baby is coming. That's not the time to be pressing for. You have to push. You're in the critical time. And he was sleeping. Then he went back again. Now, when he went, the last time when he went, he saw that God was not hearing the prayer. So that it is settled. Then he said, okay, let your will be done. Not my will. Let your will be done. But originally, his will was not to die. But when he was coming, that was his will. But when he saw, he said, so sometimes you vow. But now when you see the reality of counting 10,000 Ghana, when your salary now lands in your hand, and you realize that the bills you have at home, in fact, that month, you have times two. Your car will get spot. You have emergency. Your children will be sick. You put all together, it's like times two of the expenditure. And that's the month you are supposed to do a certain vow you promised them. You see that you will start praying. If it be your will. You will even start questioning whether the prophet was moved by your God. God, did you really want me to do it? Say, wow. The power of every vow is in the fulfillment of it. And when you are fulfilling it, then you are passing a test. The test is about whether you deserve the blessing on it. Chapter. The son of a prostitute. Do you deserve to be a judge of Israel? Do you know the judges of Israel? It started from Joshua. When Moses ended, Joshua took over. Then came others like Samson. He failed. Others like Gideon. God used mightily. Others like Deborah. Like great judges. The whole of Israel. They replaced, like they filled the shoe of Moses. How can the son of a prostitute now fill the shoes of Moses to lead Israel? How? Samuel was one of them. How can Jephthah be one? A ghetto boy. Not trained. Doesn't know. Doesn't go to church. Ghetto. How will God make him a judge? Does he deserve the blessing or not? God tested him. The moment he made the vow, it was his only child that came. And God was watching whether he feared God or not. God was watching whether he is faithful or not. God was watching whether he deserved the blessing or not. These are the three tests we face. I am facing. You are facing. It's an unconscious test. It's an unconscious test. There are many tests that you write that you don't know that you are writing. Oh, true or not true? There are many, many, many tests. The real test that you think you are writing, you prepare to write it, isn't it? But the real test of life, we don't prepare to write. They meet you without information. Yes. They meet you without information. When somebody really wants to help you, sometimes they don't tell you. They will meet you, they are chatting with you, but they are checking your dressing. They are checking how you talk, your mannerism, how you behave. So you are writing a test unconsciously. And that's the most dangerous test to write. The one that you don't know. There was a lady that failed her test miserably. She thought that she was rather doing something to help the guy, but she didn't rather know that she was rather giving the guy a reason not to marry her. What was the test? The test was that this guy is looking for somebody who fears God, a woman who is patient, because he is quick-tempered and loves the Lord, but he is looking for the opposite. And now this lady also wanted to please him. So this guy, one of the days, had a confrontation at home and had come back and then was chatting with this potential beloved. And as they were chatting, then he made a statement like, the way I want to deal with that woman. And instead of the lady say, oh, calm down. Say, forgive to air is human. To forgive is divine. To water this gentleman's heart and temper. You know what the lady said? You have to pour oil. She took it to another level. She said, you have to pour oil on the ground and teach them a lesson. Some of these people, if God doesn't teach them a lesson, they will not fear pastors. They will not fear you. That day when the guy left that house, that was the last time he did this day. But he saw that, no, if you are advising me to pour oil and kill somebody who has offended me, now, when I offend you, what will you do to me? You are a professional. Is this so? So the lady was crying, looking for, like, all her dream is to marry this guy. But just a mere conversation killed her. Because the guy was not afraid of her. But there are many tests in life you are feeling without knowing. You are talking to somebody who can change your destiny. You are talking to an employer or somebody who can, but the things you are saying is failing you. Your dressing, the other time when I see rescue guys or rescue people and I see them around and they are dressed in a certain way because it's not church service time and they are wearing anything, I'm like, oh, you don't know who you will meet out there. You can't wear slippers and just walk about. You're a leader in the church. You can't do that. You don't know who you are meeting. You can't do your hair basa just because you know you're not going for an interview. There are many tests we fail that we don't do. Yeah. Ask the one by you, how many have you failed so far? Am I saying something very serious? Very serious. I learned that lesson. Up to today, the lady doesn't know why she didn't get the proposal. Up to today. She doesn't know why. But what she didn't know was that the guy was afraid of. He failed the test. Do you deserve the prayer? Do you deserve chapter? Do you deserve to be a judge? Chapter passed his test. And God made him a judge over the whole of Israel. Had never been heard of. A judge? The son of a prostitute. As the one leading Israel for fear. But it happened in the days of chapter. Why? Because he proved that he feared God. What he said, he did it. His only child. He cut the throat of the child. Yes, for God. Because he said he would do it, and he did it. He honored God. He had respect for God. He feared God. He proved that he was faithful. Whether servant came or child came, I'll do what I say. May you pass this three test. Hey, you are not here. May you pass this three test. Because I know you are praying. I know you are fasting. Today, a certain guy I've been mentoring is also doing church. He's one of our crusade guys. And then he was complaining about the difficulties in the ministry. Then he asked me one question, that when he listened to men of God, they talk about one encounter that they had, and maybe they saw an angel, then they saw a certain demon, then after they defeated a demon, then the church grew. Then they asked me, does he always work that way? Then I said, no. The truth of the matter is that when pastors are teaching, based on the topic they are teaching, they will share an example to throw light on that topic. But that's not the only thing they did that brought them the breakthrough. They are just sharing one point out of the many. Because in the spirit, many things come together to give us results. So it is not just that day he had a dream and he fought that demon and overcame that demon. It's not like he was passing other tests. He was always praying, reading his Bible, being holy. These are things already there before that dream came. That's why he made it. It's not only that dream. So you just be sitting down waiting for your own dream. Waiting for your encounter. No. Tell somebody, one thing doesn't work in this kingdom. One thing. Many things come together to work. Tell him, many things. That's why it's always when you come to church, it looks like pastor is saying something. And pastor says that the thing is important. Tomorrow you come, he says giving is important. Tomorrow you come, he says holiness is important. Another day you come, he says thanksgiving is important. Another day you come, he says that sacrifice is important. Another day you come, he says that doing this, doing that is important. Now he's saying vows are important. It's like cooking. You are cooking your miracle. So the blessings that vows can give you, write them down quickly. Jesus was worthy of the blessing. Revelation 5, verse 12. Now, what is the blessing of honoring your vow? When you honor your vow, what are the blessings? We are going to pray, so I'm just writing it down. Number one, you gain God's respect. When you honor your vow, you gain God's respect because, Charlie, hey, you have been able to do it. Wow! You have been able to pay. You have been able to honor your vow to that village girl. Even though now you are a city superstar. Wow! You gain God's respect as a faithful person. Even you will respect such a person, isn't it? Somebody who is able to keep his promise to his wife. He has now become a billionaire, but he's still sitting by his wife. His wife doesn't look that beautiful anymore, but he's still sitting by his wife. Other beautiful ladies are all catching their attention. He doesn't cheat with them. He's still looking at it. You can't say that, oh, this man is an honorable man. He has gained your respect. So when you fulfill your vow, you gain the respect of God. Number two. And write down the scripture, Ecclesiastes 5:4. It says, when you make a vow, pay. Do not delay, for he has no pleasure in fools. God doesn't respect people who don't pay vow. Pay what you have vowed. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Abel brought his sacrifice. And then God had respect for Abel. And God disrespected Cain. God said, Cain, I don't like what you gave me. So there are things we give God that God doesn't like. There are things. You think everything you dropped here, God has accepted it. God knows your heart. He knows if you could do better. Somebody will give one city and God will clap for the person. Somebody will give 100 cities. God will say you can do better. So it's not about somebody. It's about what God has given you. What God knows you can do. So God had respect for Abel's way of giving. So when you honor your vow, God has respect for you. May God have respect for you. I said, may God have respect for you. Number two, you escape sinning against God. You escape sinning against God. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 5. They're better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. So when you don't pay your vow, you are sinning. Tell somebody you are sinning. When you don't fulfill your vow to that person, you are sinning. You promise that person, you don't keep it. You are sinning. You promise God, you don't pay. You are sinning. You promise the church, you don't fulfill it. You are sinning. You promise your own self, I'll read my Bible this year. Hey, I've done calendar. Swear. You are sinning against your own self. Number three, God blesses the work of your hands. The same Ecclesiastes 5 verse 6. Ecclesiastes 5 says, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that is an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? So when God is angry because you don't pay your vow, he attacks the work of your hands. Don't provoke God. Advise somebody by you, don't provoke God. Don't provoke God. There may be something you may be going through. Maybe it's a vow you have broken to a certain brother or to a certain sister. It's a vow you have broken to before God. Now the punishment has come. And you may never know. You may never know. God, over here, look at what he says. He says that do not vow and you don't pay. Otherwise, the Lord attacks your work. Destroy the work of your hands. So there are many, many people whose work of their hands have been destroyed. Because maybe they made a vow, oh Lord, I will serve you. You see, one of the easiest ways, there are people, I don't believe everybody is like that. I believe there are people that God wants them to do the two. Like the pastor calls and the pastor Enoch. We call some people lay ministers. All our pastors, only one person, even he is going to school. So we don't even have full-time pastors. But there are people that God can destroy the work of their hands because God wants them to be pastors. I believe that if I had been stubborn and I still decided that I'll work because I had all the avenues and the opportunities, I'm sure that if God tries negotiation and persuasion, it doesn't work, force will be applied. Have you heard that principle before? If persuasion fails, force is applied. Some of you are still at the level of persuasion. Wait for God very soon. When it starts with the force, you will understand. Yeah, because maybe God is calling you to be a pastor. Or maybe you were young. One day you gave God promise. Oh, I will serve you. I'll be a pastor. Make a vow. God had called you. You said, oh, I'll do it. Even if I get a job, I'll do it. Oh, if I travel, I'll do it. Oh, and then I just want to travel outside the country. They always come in and convince me and persuade me that, oh, when they get there, we can start rescue. So, pastor, help me. Then when they get there, then it becomes war. Then I have to talk and every day I'm chasing them. Because the life there is different from the life in Africa. So it takes another instance they are breaking their vows. You see? So when God puts you on persuasion for a while and you are not changing, he can upgrade it to force. And don't dare God. Tell somebody, don't dare God. So I've heard people say that, oh, because baby, I say, oh, yes, of winter, a human name, you know, it can be true because God can do it. It can be true. But I don't think that everybody who must be a pastor must not do another work. Because not everybody God wants to be a general overseer. A lot can be lay pastors. So God will not necessarily fight your work just because he wants to. Maybe you are not writing the application well, or maybe you are not passing your test. You look at the other factors. Don't only blame it on God. But there are people that God can mess up, to get the attention. May you not get there. Say, I'll never get there. So, escape from, you see, making God destroy the work of number four. Escape. When you honor your vows, the blessing is that you escape troubles. You escape troubles. Jonah chapter 2 verse 9. How many of you remember Uncle Joe? Wave. You remember Uncle Joe? Uncle Jonah. Uncle Jonah was sent to go and preach. He was a shepherd. He said, go and preach at Nineveh. Go to Otateng. Go there and preach. And then he said that I will not go to Otateng. Otateng people, they are too stubborn. So I will not go there. He was a shepherd. God said, go and warn the people of Alabama. He said, I will not go. It's too far from my house. If you are sending me, send me to my area. And he didn't go. Then God used force. You remember what happened to him? Me myself, I've forgotten the story. Me myself, I have to go and check my Bible. I've forgotten what happened to Uncle Joe. Do you remember what happened to him? A whale swallowed him. A whale swallowed him. And he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Now, that whale was not a natural whale. Not the one, a natural whale. Huh? It was a natural whale. It would have been food already. Digestion would have taken place. Because a natural whale, we did it. A Janibet translated 3 days. How? How? Digest, in fact, the moment you enter into the mouth, the secretion of this thing, thylene has been released. But it's breaking down the carbohydrate. It has started already. When a snake swallows an animal, did you see how it turns and breaks the bone? You go inside, you stay there. And then what high time? Stay there 3 days. Then you are there. Then you are praying to God. Oh God, have mercy on me. Go and read the book of Jonah chapter 1. He prayed. He was in the belly of a fish. That was not a fish. It was just a spiritual thing God made to keep him. So he repented. Then he prayed after 3 days. Then as if the fish had a GPS. The fish had a map. Google drive map. So the fish went left, right, left, forward, stop here, turn your left, go here, stop, slow down, move to your right. Then the fish negotiated, went through the river and went straight to Nineveh. Somebody was swallowed in Tarshish. The fish brought him back to Tate, where he was originally sent. So who spoke to the fish? That was not a fish. that was not a fish. I guess what I'm saying. I see stubborn people, that's how God treats them. The one talking should be listening to the message. The one who just spoke. If I were him, this message is for him. He should be listening. Just be listening. I've not said anything. I'm just preaching that. What I'm saying is that I've even forgotten what happened to Jonah. But something happened. Amen. It will never happen to you. I should rise up to write, it will never happen to you. God will have mercy on you. Amen. But you see, don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. When he refused to go, God had to use force to send him to where he has sent him. And if you obey, you honor your vow, you give a vow and you honor it, God saves you from trouble. How do we see that? Look at the story of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah gave a vow. Jonah chapter 2 verse 9. He said, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. He's giving promise. Oh, he was in a 3-bedroom house in the sea and was giving promise. That I will do A, B, C, D. If you give me another chance, I will go. I will not run away. Then he said, I will give you, or I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. And I will pay what I have vowed. Say, I will pay what I have vowed. Charlie, when God does it for you, pay what you have vowed, okay? When that thing arrives, pay what you have vowed. When you get to that place, pay what you have vowed. When you promise God, God, help me to marry, I'll not let my marriage take me from you. When it comes, when you say, God, give me children, and I'll still serve you all the days of my life. When you now get triplets, don't say triplets are too hard to handle. Honor your vow. Don't forget that you gave God a vow. Don't forget. I will pay what I have vowed for salvation. Everybody read it. Salvation is of the Lord. That means that when you pay what you vow, then salvation will be your portion. You don't pay what you vow, you will not enjoy salvation. That means deliverance from trouble. Salvation is from the word sozo. Okay? Soteria. That means you have been delivered. Amen. Then the final one, you will be established in your destiny. Like Jephthah. He had a destiny to be a judge, but he had the wrong mother, prostitute. So he could not. He grew up from the wrong place, ghetto. So he could not. But he was supposed to rule. But when he fulfilled the vow and sacrificed his daughter, God said, you are ready for your destiny. He was enthroned and he judged Israel. So he died. Clap your two hands for the Lord. May you rise up to your own destiny. I said, may you rise up to your own destiny. Number six, consistent answers to prayers. One of the blessings you enjoy is that God will keep answering your prayer. Job 22, 27. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you and you will pay your vows. That means that he will keep answering your prayer because you will pay your vows. So when you pay your vows, God keeps answering your prayer. God keeps. Hannah got more children. Her heart desire was to be a mother of many, but she was afraid. She said, just give me one. When God saw that she honored by bringing that one, God said, your secret heart desire is more children, not one. So I'll answer all your heart desires. And God answered all her heart desires. Number seven, the blessing of increase and abundance. You'll receive more blessings than you requested from God. 1 Samuel 2 verse 21. Like Hannah, the Lord visited Hannah and she conceived and bought 3 boys, 2 girls. That is 5 extra. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. She gave Samuel to God and God gave her 5. So you increase and you multiply. When you honor God, you will increase and multiply. Jacob kept his vow to God and he increased and became a nation. Genesis 35 verse 23 upwards. Jacob said, if you follow me, I'm running for my brother. I've stolen his blessing. But if you have mercy on me and you help me, I'll give you 1/10 of everything you give me. When he honored God and fulfilled it, when God blessed him, now God made him a nation. We can't find his brother's children. They are mixed. Among the people they are fighting, they are mixed. We can't find it. They are mixed. But we can tell that these are specific Jacob's children. They are called the Jews. Then the rest, Ishmael and Edom or Esau, they are mixed. You can't tell where they are coming. They are mixed. But you can tell the nation called Jacob. It's called Israel today. When you fulfill your vows, God brings you to your destiny. May you never lose your destiny. May you never lose your dream marriage. May you never lose your blessing. May God enthrone you in your blessing. In Jesus' name. Clap your two hands. Rise up to your feet. And let us pray. There is power.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.